You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
Hello friends and welcome back to the Flannel Wizard. I just finished up another video. This is the complete Lord Voldemort story. So from Tom Riddle to the Dark Lord, it's got it all. So we start with the backstory in terms of his mom, and his dad, his grandpa, Uncle Morphin, all of it. And then we drive all the way to the very end in 1998 when Harry Potter defeats him. So it's pretty good. At the end, I do have some sort of additional notes and some commentary, real brief. But stick around for the very end where I talk about some of the maybe inconsistencies in this timeline. So without further ado, here we go. The complete Lord Voldemort story. Lord Voldemort, the darkest wizard of all time. How did Tom Riddle, a gifted orphan, transform into the most feared name in the wizarding world? From his cursed beginnings to his rise and his final downfall, this is the complete timeline of the Dark Lord. Every crucial moment, every dark secret, let's unravel the twisted path of he who must not be named. To understand Lord Voldemort's timeline, we need to start by introducing you to his mother and father. His mother was Merope Gaunt, a British pureblood witch, born in 1907. She was a direct descendant of Salazar Slytherin himself. Merope grew up with her father, Marvolo Gaunt, and her brother, Morphin Gaunt. They lived near the village of Little Haggleton. Merope would often stare out her window, fawning over a local muggle named Tom Riddle. Her brother, Morphin, didn't really care about the Statue of Secrecy, and often used magic against muggles. Well, in September of 1925, Morphin had finally gone too far. He attacked Tom Riddle Sr. with a hive jinx, and the Ministry of Magic decided to get involved. When they came to get Morphin, Marvolo tried to stop them. Morphin proudly confessed that he had jinxed a local muggle that Merope was crushing on. Now this sent Marvolo into a rage, and he actually attacks his daughter in front of the Ministry officials. Eventually, reinforcements are called, and both Morphin and Marvolo are imprisoned for their crimes. Morphin is sentenced to 3 years in Azkaban, whereas Marvolo is sentenced to 6 months. In the absences of her father and brother, Merope's magical talents start to thrive once again, and her obsession with Tom Riddle Sr. also continued to grow. And by December of 1925, she has put him under the influence of a love potion and forced him to marry her. In March of 1926, Marvolo Gaunt was released from Azkaban prison and returns home. He's surprised to learn that Merope has indeed run away from home with Tom Riddle Sr. We aren't exactly sure when, but Marvolo dies sometime between March of 1926 and the year 1928. In the summer of 1926, Merope Gaunt decides to lift the love enchantment that she used to hoodwink Tom Riddle Sr. She believes that he'll see that she's carrying his child and will want to continue living together as a family. Instead, he is repulsed and decides to return to his family intent on never seeing Merope or her unborn child again. In early December 1926, Merope is pregnant and desperate for money. Her beloved Tom Riddle has completely abandoned her, and she she has nowhere to go. She can't return home, otherwise she would face the wrath of her evil father, Marval Ogaunt. So instead, she sells her family heirloom, Salazar Slytherin's locket, to Borgin and Burke. By December 31st, 1926, Merope Gaunt sought refuge at Wool's orphanage. She was in active labor, yet she had lost the will to live. Her only wishes were that the boy would grow up to be as handsome as his father, and that the boy should be named after his father and grandfather, Tom Marvolo Riddle. Merope then dies within an hour. Over the next 10 years, young Tom Riddle will continue to live at the orphanage he was born in. His father, Tom Riddle Sr., never reconnected with Merope, nor did he inquire about the child that she was carrying. For reference, in the year 1926, we have the events of The Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, and in 1927, we have the events of The Fantastic Beasts and the Crimes of Grindelwald. This is the first time that we meet the character Nagini, who will become very important to Lord Voldemort years later. Now on to 1928. Morfin Gaunt, brother of Merope and Tom Riddle Jr.'s uncle, returns from Azkaban. Remember, he was imprisoned for hexing muggles and fighting with ministry officials. He served a 3-year sentence for his crimes. When he returns home, he finds out that both his father Marvolo and his sister Merope are dead. Morfin stays at the Gaunt homestead for years until he gets an unexpected visit from Tom Riddle Jr. later in life. We'll cover that particular visit later. Again, for reference, sometime between the years 1932 and 1937, we have the events of The Secrets of Dumbledore. Moving forward, sometime between 1935 and 1937, Tom tortures his fellow orphans at a seashore cave. During a summer trip to the coast with the children from the orphanage, Tom persuaded Amy Benson and Dennis Bishop to venture with him into a cave. This little exploratory trip results in a profoundly changed Amy and Dennis. It's likely that Tom Riddle tortured or hurt them in some way. But according to Tom, they were just exploring, so who knows what really happened. But it was significant enough that Mrs. Cole took notice. In August 1938, Dumbledore comes to personally deliver news to 11-year-old Tom that he is accepted at Hogwarts School for Witchcraft and Wizardry. Tom Riddle turns out to be a quite unfriendly and manipulative child who instills fear and inflicts suffering on the other children in the orphanage. Initially, Tom suspects Dumbledore had come to take him to a mental health facility. However, his apprehension turns to excitement when he realizes that Dumbledore represents a school for wizards, offering an explanation for his extraordinary powers. Dumbledore impresses Tom by magically lighting his wardrobe with harmless flames, making Tom show him the things that he's stolen from others. Dumbledore emphasizes how important rules and discipline are at Hogwarts, and instructs Tom to give back everything he stole, letting him know he'd find out if Tom didn't listen. After explaining everything Tom needs to do to get ready for Hogwarts, including getting his school supplies, Tom shares with Dumbledore that he can speak to snakes. On September 1st, 1938, Tom Riddle starts school at Hogwarts and is sorted into House Slytherin. During the first year, he learns about Salazar Slytherin's secret chamber. The obsession sets in, and during his free time, Tom searches the castle for the secret chamber. He also quickly learns that he's a natural when it comes to magic. His professors are very impressed by his accelerated magical progression. Tom also quickly learns about blood purity from his fellow Slytherins, and starts to wonder and research about his mother and father. During his first 4 years at Hogwarts, Tom Riddle continuously explores the secrets of Hogwarts and searches for answers to his own mysterious past. We don't have a lot of details about those first 4 years. We know that young Riddle was continuing to grow his power, and more than impressing his professors. Which now leads us to one of the most important moments in Tom Riddle's backstory, his fifth year at Hogwarts. In the fall of 1942, Tom Riddle starts his fifth year and was made prefect. By the end of the school year, 1943, Tom not only finds the Chamber of Secrets, but he also unleashes the basilisk on a muggle-born, Myrtle Warren, but he's pushed his luck a bit too far, because now Hogwarts might be closed unless the person responsible for these crimes is caught. Rather than see Hogwarts shut its doors, Tom decides to frame a third-year student named Hagrid and his giant pet spider Aragog for the murder of Myrtle Warren. This leads to Hagrid's expulsion and a new colony of Acromantula in the Forbidden Forest. Be sure to check out my video on how Hagrid joins the fight against Grindelwald and saved Dumbledore's life. It's a crazy one. In the summer of 1943, Tom Riddle did two terrible things. Number one, he creates his first Horcrux, the diary. Myrtle Warren was killed in June of 1943, and Tom says that he placed his 16-year-old self into the diary. So he must have done it at some point during the summer of 1943, or maybe at the very start of his sixth year. And the second terrible act was the killing of his father, Tom Riddle Sr. After creating his first Horcrux, Tom goes to visit, or rather confront, his uncle, Morfin Gaunt. During this visit, he uses his powers to subdue Uncle Morfin and take Marvolo Pharaoh's ring, which also happened to contain the Resurrection Stone. And then he travels to his father's house to seek revenge on the Muggle family that abandoned his mother. After using his uncle's wand to kill the Riddle family, Tom returns to the Gaunt household in order to frame his uncle for the murders by modifying his memory and returning his uncle's wand, which would clearly connect Morphin to the murders and not Tom himself. The next day, Uncle Morphin is confronted by ministry officials and proudly confesses that he killed the Riddle family. He is taken to Azkaban, where he remained until his death. On September 1st, 1943, Tom Riddle starts his sixth year at Hogwarts. This is the same year where Tom decides to push his magical talents to the limit. It's also the same year where he pushes his luck to the limit. After an evening Slug Club meeting, Tom has a private conversation with Professor Slughorn about Horcruxes. It seems that Tom had already figured out that killing splits the soul, and he's already created one Horcrux. But now he wants to know how many times the soul can be split. For instance, could it be split 7 times? It's also important to note that Tom is now wearing Marvolo Gaunt's ring, and he's embraced his new title, Heir of Slytherin. Shortly after this conversation, Tom uses the killing of his father to create his second Horcrux, the Ring. Tom's seventh year at Hogwarts starts in 1944 and ends in June of 1945. He is named Head Boy. It's probably safe to assume that Dumbledore was not able to keep a watchful eye on Tom Riddle during his last 2 years. Dumbledore was focused on bringing Gellert Grindelwald to justice. This allowed Tom to continue exploring Hogwarts, and he eventually located the Room of Requirement. Tom's obsession with power and powerful artifacts continues to grow. After opening the Chamber of Secrets, he is obsessed with the founders of Hogwarts and their powerful relics. In an effort to find out more about the founders, it's possible that Tom turned to Slytherin's own house ghost, the Bloody Baron. If anyone could get the Baron to talk, it would most likely be Tom Riddle. The Baron's obsession with Helena Ravenclaw wouldn't be too interesting for Tom. Love is not something that he really understands, but the bit about a magical diadem would be very, very interesting. Tom would then go on to use his charm and charisma to convince her into telling him the location of her mother's diadem. She reveals that the diadem is currently hidden in a hollow tree deep within the Albanian forest. It's also important to note that during Tom's 7 years, his close friends started to call him Lord Voldemort. But to the rest of the staff and students, he was still the handsome, charming, and talented Tom Riddle. In the summer of 1945, after Riddle had graduated from Hogwarts, he actually applied at Hogwarts for a teaching position, but Headmaster Dippet turned him down. He is told that he's too young to be a teacher. He needs to go into the world and gain some experience. Several former teachers offer to put in a good word for him at the Ministry of Magic, but Tom refuses. In the fall of 1945, Tom Riddle starts working for Borgin & Burks. He worked to persuade witches and wizards to sell their valuable heirlooms. On November 2nd, 1945, Dumbledore famously defeats Gellert Grindelwald. Now, from 1945 until 1955, it appears that Tom Riddle continued to work at Borgin & Burks, around 10 years or so. This is where things get a little murky. For example, when did Tom decide to retrieve the lost diadem of House Ravenclaw? Did he go to Albania right after he graduated from Hogwarts? Or did he decide to wait to secure the diadem? It's a super important house relic that Tom would want to make sure that he had secured. His travels for Borgin & Burks could have taken him anywhere. It's even possible that he met Nagini during these travels, perhaps before she was permanently turned into a snake. But regardless, by 1955, we do know that Tom became acquainted with Hepzibah Smith, who claimed to be a descendant of Helga Hufflepuff herself. Now, sometime between 1956 and 1957, Tom Riddle murders Hepzibah Smith and steals both Salazar Slytherin's locket and Helga Hufflepuff's cup. He frames this murder on Hepzibah Smith's own house elf, Hokey. He uses the murder of Smith to turn the cup into his third Horcrux. As for Slytherin's locket, Voldemort chose a personal place to hide his next Horcrux. He returned to a cave where he had tortured 2 children from his youth and killed a local muggle in order to turn the locket into his fourth Horcrux. Now it was time for Lord Voldemort to disappear and travel the world. Between 1957 and 1967, approximately another 10 years, Voldemort wandered the world, sinking deeper and deeper into the dark arts. He met with the very worst of wizard kind, and he was undergoing numerous dangers, magical rituals, and transformations that by the time he resurfaced years later, he was barely recognizable. It is very likely during this time abroad that he was able to retrieve Ravenclaw's lost diadem in the Albanian forest. Then he used the murder of an Albanian peasant to turn the diadem into his fifth Horcrux. I also believe that during this time, Voldemort traveled to Indonesia, where he did officially meet Nagini at the Wizarding World's largest black market in the city of Jakarta. Be sure to check that theory out. Now, in 1967, Voldemort returns to Hogwarts and is rejected by Dumbledore to become the Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher. Unlike his previous attempt to get a teaching job at Hogwarts, Dumbledore doubted Voldemort's true intentions this time. He suspected that Voldemort didn't actually want to teach, but was more interested in gathering followers and training them in the dark arts. In reality, though, Voldemort had a different plan. He wanted to access the school so he could search for powerful artifacts, like the Sword of Godric Gryffindor. His ultimate goal was to use one of these treasures to create his sixth Horcrux, ultimately completing his plan to split his soul into seven pieces. After this failed interview, Voldemort hides Ravenclaw's diadem in the Room of Requirement and curses the Defense Against the Dark Arts position for the next 25 years, ensuring that no teacher would last more than a year in that particular role. This meeting was 10 years after the death of Hepzibah Smith. For context, in 1968, Nobby Leach mysteriously stepped down from the office due to health reasons, but whispers in the hall of the ministry suggested something far more sinister. Some believed that he had been poisoned by his own muggle-prejudiced advisor, Abraxas Malfoy. Coincidence? The Malfoys would certainly like you to think so. Minister Leach was replaced by Eugenia Jenkins, another progressive leader who, like him, actually believed in things like fairness and equality. Under her leadership, Squibs took to the streets, marching for their rights, an act that sent pureblood supremacists into a full-blown tantrum. Riots broke out, and the old aristocratic wizarding families began clutching their enchanted pearls, convinced that their entire way of life was under attack. Many of the old pureblood houses felt cornered. Some of these families would later give rise to the first Death Eaters, but even those who didn't put on a skull mask were quietly rooting for Voldemort from the sidelines. For context, Arthur Weasley and Molly Pruitt graduate from Hogwarts in 1968 and elope to marry in 1970. And it's in 1970 that Voldemort begins his first rise to power. This is known as the First Wizarding War and would last until 1981. He and his Death Eaters start a wave of terror attacks in the wizarding world. Dark and mysterious disappearances begin to plague the wizarding community. In the first chapter of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, Albus Dumbledore says, quote, "You can't blame them," said Dumbledore gently. "We've had precious little to celebrate for 11 years." For context, Bellatrix Lestrange graduates from Hogwarts in 1970, and in an effort to combat Lord Voldemort's rise to power, Dumbledore formed the Order of the Phoenix in 1971. For context, Lucius Malfoy graduated from Hogwarts in 1973. In 1975, Eugene Jenkins, Minister of Magic, was pushed out of office, making way for Harold Mincham, a no-nonsense hardliner who believed the best way to handle rising threats was to throw more Dementors at the problem, specifically around Azkaban. Meanwhile, Barty Crouch Sr., the ruthless head judge of the Council of Magical Law, was climbing the ministry ranks at an alarming speed. Before long, he took over as head of the Department of Magical Law Enforcement, bringing his own brand of strict, no-mercy justice. Together, Mincham and Crouch cracked down hard, making real progress in the fight against dark forces. But despite their efforts, the Death Eaters, anonymous, slippery, and always one step ahead, continued to hold the upper hand. For context, James Potter, Lily Evans, Remus Lupin, Peter Pettigrew, Sirius Black, and Severus Snape graduate from Hogwarts in the year 1978. In 1979, Lord Voldemort uses Creature to test the defenses of his locket Horcrux in the Cave by the Sea. Regulus Black gives his family's house elf, Creature, an important task: follow Voldemort's orders and then come back home. Voldemort takes Creature to a hidden cave by the sea, where there's a small island in the middle of a dark lake filled with creepy, zombie-like creatures called Inferi. On the island, Voldemort forces Creature to drink a horrible potion from a stone basin. The potion causes terrible pain, making Creature cry out for help. While Creature suffers, Voldemort places his locket into the basin, which magically refills with the potion. Thinking that Creature will die, Voldemort leaves him behind and rows back across the lake. Desperate to stop the pain, Creature tries to drink from the lake, but the Inferi grab him and pull him under. However, remembering Regulus's command, Creature uses his magic to escape and apparates back to Grimmauld Place, barely surviving the deadly trap. Early in 1980, Snape hears a part of Trelawney's prophecy and tells Lord Voldemort. When Dumbledore met with Sybil Trelawney at Hogshead to consider her for the divination teaching job, he didn't expect anything special. But during the interview, she suddenly made a real prophecy about a child who could defeat Voldemort. Outside the door, Severus Snape, who was spying for Voldemort, overheard part of the prophecy. Before he could hear everything, Dumbledore's brother Aberforth caught him and threw him out. Snape quickly reported what he had heard to Voldemort, which caused the Dark Lord to become obsessed with stopping the prophecy and started planning to kill the baby who would one day defeat him. The only two wizarding babies that fit the description of the prophecy were Harry Potter and Neville Longbottom. Voldemort quickly decides that the half-blood wizard is more like himself and therefore more of a threat. On July 31st, 1980, Harry Potter, the Chosen One, is born. In August of 1980, Severus Snape secretly meets with Albus Dumbledore in order to warn the Potters. The exact timing of this meeting is not known, but we assume that it was after Harry Potter was born because Severus Snape tells Dumbledore to hide them all. It could be later, but we assume Voldemort might strike as soon as he can. In September or October of 1980, Peter Pettigrew turns traitor and becomes a spy for Lord Voldemort. Dumbledore suspects a spy in the Order, but he does not suspect Peter Pettigrew. Over a year later, on October 24th, 1981, Dumbledore cast the Fidelius charm on on the Potters. The Potters named Peter Pettigrew as their secret keeper. We know this bit of information because Cornelius Fudge states that the Fidelius charm was cast barely a week before Voldemort came after the Potters. October 31st, 1981. Voldemort, thanks to Peter Pettigrew, now knows the location of the Potter cottage and goes to Godric Hollow on the night of Halloween, 1981. Voldemort first fights and kills.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
James Potter. At the request of his most trusted Death Eater, Severus Snape, he shows mercy and allows Lily Potter the opportunity to step aside. She refuses and sacrifices herself in order to protect her son, Harry. This invokes an ancient magical protection for Harry Potter. When Voldemort casts the killing curse at Harry, the spell backfires and strikes the Dark Lord. It would have killed him instantly, but Voldemort's master soul, or the portion remaining, is tethered to life by his Horcruxes. This Avada Kedavra spell is amplified, which ultimately destroys Voldemort's body and allows his soul to linger on. But this also causes another unintentional split in Voldemort's soul. A portion of Voldemort's soul secretly broke away and latched onto baby Harry and gives him the famous lightning scar on his forehead. Harry Potter becomes Voldemort's sixth Horcrux. This was clearly the consequence of dabbling way too far into the dark arts. I believe this portion of Voldemort's soul represented the very best of Tom Riddle, the last bit of soul that was keeping him human and giving him a chance at redemption. Check out my video on how Voldemort destroyed his one last chance for redemption. Voldemort, barely alive and without a body, hides in the forests of Albania for the next 10 years. In September of 1990, Voldemort meets Professor Quirrell, who is taking a year off of teaching in an Albanian forest. On July 31st, 1991, Voldemort instructs Professor Quirrell to steal the stone from Gringotts Vault 713. Thankfully, Hagrid had been instructed to retrieve the stone and returned it to Dumbledore just prior to that attempted robbery. Voldemort then takes possession of Quirrell and starts plotting to steal the stone from Hogwarts. Year 1. Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, 1991-1992. Voldemort is possessing Professor Quirrell, so wherever Quirrell goes, so does the Dark Lord. It's a good thing Severus Snape wasn't showing all of his love and compassion for Harry. At the end of the year, in June of 1992, Harry confronts Quirrell and defeats Voldemort by using an ancient love magic that is coursing through his veins. Overwhelmed by this magic, Voldemort abandons Quirrell when Harry disrupts the attempt to get the stone and vanishes again to Albania. Year 2, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, 1992-1993. Here we have a tricky situation where Voldemort is actually in two places at once. The Master Soul is actually hiding in Albania. The fandom often refers to this portion as Vapormort. But simultaneously, one of Voldemort's Horcruxes, the Diary, is now attempting to take form. The Diary is found by Ginny Weasley, who is manipulated into opening the Chamber of Secrets and releasing the Basilisk, causing attacks on Muggle-born students. Harry destroys the Diary with the Basilisk's fang, eradicating this first piece of Voldemort's soul. When Mr. and Mrs. Weasley come to Hogwarts to check on Ginny Weasley, who has been taken to the Chamber of Secrets, Dumbledore announces that his sources believe Voldemort is in Albania. Peter Pettigrew was Ron's rat, Scabbers, at the time and overhears this conversation. Year 3, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, 1993-1994. Voldemort does not directly appear in this year's events, but is mentioned in context with his followers, including Sirius Black, wrongly accused of betraying the Potters, and Peter Pettigrew, the actual betrayer. Voldemort is still supposedly hiding in Albania during this time. Now that Peter Pettigrew's cover as Scabbers is blown, he will head to Albania to find his old master. Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, 1994-1995. June of 1994, Voldemort secretly returns to Britain with the help of Peter Pettigrew. July 1994, Bertha Jorkins Perkins is captured and murdered by Voldemort and Pettigrew. Voldemort uses the murder of Bertha to create his seventh Horcrux with Nagini. On August 23rd, 1994, Voldemort moves into the old Riddle House and Frank Bryce is killed. On June 24th, 1995, Voldemort, through the efforts of Barty Crouch Jr., arranges for Harry Potter to be transported to the Little Haggleton graveyard, where he uses Harry's blood in a ritual to regain his physical body. Voldemort then duels Harry Potter in front of his followers. But Harry's wand just happens to share a twinned wand core with Voldemort, and the Priori Incantatum effect produces the images of Voldemort's last several spells, which include Cedric Diggory, Frank Bryce, Bertha Jorkins, and Lily and James Potter. Each of these echoes helps to buy time for Harry to reach Cedric's body and use the port key to return back to Hogwarts. Year 5, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, 1995 to 1996. Fall of 1995, gathering forces and power. Voldemort spends much of this period in hiding, consolidating his strength and slowly rebuilding his forces, which includes recruiting both old and new Death Eaters. He is particularly focused on maintaining secrecy around his return to power to avoid drawing immediate opposition from Dumbledore and the wizarding community. One of Voldemort's main goals in the book is to obtain a prophecy that is stored in the Department of Mysteries at the Ministry of Magic. This prophecy concerns himself and Harry Potter, and he believes that it holds the key to understanding and ultimately defeating Harry. December 1995. Voldemort sends Nagini to breach the defenses of the Ministry and attack Mr. Weasley right before the start of Christmas. Harry witnesses this very real event from the perspective of Nagini. January of 1996. Voldemort orchestrates a mass breakout from Azkaban. In a stunning turn of events, 10 notorious Death Eaters, including Bellatrix Lestrange, manage a daring escape, assisted by the Dementor Guards, whose loyalties had chillingly shifted to the dark side under Lord Voldemort's influence. This escape marked a pivotal moment of terror and uncertainty, sending shockwaves across the wizarding community. June of 1996. Manipulating events from afar, Voldemort uses his connection with Harry, established through the scar Voldemort gave him, to influence and manipulate events. He implants a false vision into Harry's mind, making him believe that Sirius Black, Harry's godfather, is being tortured in the Department of Mysteries. June 18, 1996, Battle of the Department of Mysteries. This culminates in a dramatic confrontation at the Ministry. Voldemort tricks Harry and his friends into a trap, leading to a significant battle between the Death Eaters and members of the Order of the Phoenix. Voldemort himself appears during this battle, dueling Dumbledore and revealing himself to the wizarding world, which forces the Ministry to finally acknowledge his return. Year 6, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, 1996 to 1997. In June of 1996, Lord Voldemort is furious with the Malfoy family for failing to acquire the prophecy. This prompts Voldemort to initiate Draco Malfoy as a Death Eater and instruct him to kill Professor Dumbledore. This task deeply affects Draco, highlighting Voldemort's willingness to use even young students to achieve his ends. Simultaneously, a second portion of Voldemort's soul is destroyed by Albus Dumbledore when he locates the Gaunt Ring and the Resurrection Stone. In July of 1996, Voldemort focuses on strengthening his arsenal, which includes kidnapping Ollivander, the Wandmaker, to learn more about the wands, in particular, Harry Potter's wand. He also uses the Wandmaker to create wands for his Death Eaters. It's also during this time that Voldemort or one of his Death Eaters killed Igor Karkaroff for not returning when summoned and then quickly turned their attention to Amelia Bones. The head of magical law enforcement put up a fight while being killed personally by Voldemort inside of a locked room where she had been living. In the summer and fall of 1996, Voldemort actively recruits dark creatures, including werewolves, to his cause, capitalizing on their dissatisfaction and desire for a better life under his rule. Fenrir Greyback, a notorious werewolf, is instrumental in these efforts, helping to marshal werewolf support for Lord Voldemort. His strategy involves spreading fear and chaos, not only in the magical community, but also among Muggles. This reign of terror is facilitated by his Death Eaters, who carry out attacks that destabilize both communities. Overall, Voldemort's presence in the book, though often indirect, is palpable and menacing, setting the stage for the final confrontation of the series. On June 30th, 1997, at the direction of Lord Voldemort, Draco Malfoy attempted to assassinate Professor Dumbledore. He disarms him, but is unable to finish the job. Instead, Severus Snape does it for him, and fulfills his promise to both Narcissa Malfoy and Albus Dumbledore. Year 7, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, 1997 to 1998. On June 21st, 1997, Charity Burbage is killed at Malfoy Manor and eaten by Nagini. On July 27th, 1997, the Battle of the Seven Potters takes place, and Mad-Eye Moody is killed. August 1st, 1997, the Ministry of Magic falls to Voldemort and his Death Eaters. Minister Rufus Scrimgeour is tortured and murdered. Pius Thickness is installed as the new minister under the Imperius Curse. On December 24th, 1997, Voldemort sets another trap for Harry by having Nagini animate Bathilda Bagshot. When Nagini attacks, Hermione saves the pair, but Harry's wand is destroyed. In early 1998, Slytherin's locket is destroyed, killing the third portion of Voldemort's soul. Early in 1998, Voldemort visits the wandmaker Grigorovich and demands to know the whereabouts of the Elder Wand. After acquiring this information, Voldemort kills the wandmaker. March 30th, 1998, Voldemort visits Grindelwald in prison to inquire about the Elder Wand. Unexpectedly, Grindelwald lied to Voldemort, saying that he never had it. In his weakened state, it was unlikely that Grindelwald could employ any form of occlumency that would block Voldemort from seeing the lie. May 1st, 1998, Voldemort learns that Harry is hunting for his Horcruxes. Harry is able to read Voldemort's thoughts to determine that Ravenclaw's diadem is hidden at Hogwarts. Voldemort starts to keep Nagini very close. Later that day, Voldemort confronts Severus Snape, who he believes is the master of the Elder Wand. He uses Nagini to kill Severus in order to win the wand's allegiance. Over the course of May 1st and into the early hours of May 2nd, the Battle of Hogwarts is in full swing. Hermione and Ron enter the Chamber of Secrets to destroy the fourth portion of Voldemort's soul from Helga Hufflepuff's cup. They then use the Basilisk Fang to destroy the diadem of Ravenclaw, but are interrupted by their Slytherin classmates. Crabbe uses his wand to create cursed fire and was unable to control it. He unintentionally destroyed the diadem, which was containing the fifth portion of Voldemort's soul. Harry takes Professor Snape's memories to the headmaster's office and learns that he is a Horcrux and must also be destroyed, and destroyed by Lord Voldemort himself. Harry enters the Forbidden Forest and willingly allows Voldemort to cast Avada Kedavra. This destroys Voldemort's sixth portion of his soul. Neville Longbottom and friends have been on the lookout for an opportunity to destroy Nagini. Now that Harry Potter is dead, Voldemort feels more comfortable letting Nagini out of her cage. Neville uses the Sword of Godric Gryffindor to destroy the last Horcrux, which contained the seventh portion of Voldemort's soul, which paves the way for Harry Potter to duel the Dark Lord one-on-one. Winner take all. The Elder Wand will not fire on its true master, and therefore backfired on Voldemort, killing him once and for all. There you have it, the complete Lord Voldemort timeline. Let me know if I missed anything. Thanks for watching, and don't let the muggles get you down. Okay, so there you have it, friends. Wanted to go over a couple of the what could be inconsistencies. I decided not to put it in this video, but it's the idea that the ring Horcrux actually comes before the diary. So it's if you go to the Harry Potter lexicon, they essentially assert that the ring Horcrux does actually come first, and it's because of some wording in the book where it says that during Tom Riddle's 16th year, so not when he is 16, but during his 15, when he's 15, and that's technically his 16th year of life. He's living that, right? And then he gains, you know, eventually gets to 16. So they really break down and take that quote in the book very literal, and they say that the ring crux would be first if you go off this idea that during the summer of his when he's 15, that would be when he sort of made that ring crux. But J.K. Rowling has said that the diary is the first one. So then you go back and you look at the language around when all that stuff sort of happened, and when did he go and kill his parents and Myrtle Warren and all of that. When did he store his 16-year-old self in the diary? All those different things really just have to go down with what J.K. Rowling wanted and what she intended. Even if it does, even if there's one line in the book series that's sort of kind of wording it slightly differently, if you go look up which Horcrux is created first, you'll find Reddits talking about it. You'll hear different people discussing it. And to me, I was like, okay, the author intended it for it to be the diary first, and I'm cool with that. So that's sort of what we did in the video. I've had it different ways in shorts, and I've tried to kind of, you know, have fun with it and have people debate it and talk about it and whatnot. Even did a poll on the YouTube channel that said, you know, which Horcrux was created first. And I had the folks vote on that, and there was a lot of comments that were just like, you know, surprised that 90% of the people were wrong. 90% of the people chose like the diary as the first one, and then there was a few clever comments that were suggesting the ring was first. And it was just funny because, you know, it depends on which source of information you were looking at and which quotes you were taking to heart and very, very literal, and then who was taking into account what the author wanted. So yeah, kind of an interesting one, but really not that big of a deal. It's just interesting to see what the Dark Lord was doing and sort of what he was working on during that time, who he was. All those things are kind of fascinating. I did post this, and I've already got a couple different comments. People are wondering, like, when are we going to get, like, a young Tom Riddle sort of story? And it would be a tragic one, wouldn't it? So I don't know that we're ever going to get something like that. But Fantastic Beasts was, you know, right around that time period, and it left off right when he would be coming to Hogwarts. So I do wonder, maybe they were going to do something kind of spooky and scary and fill in some interesting bits and pieces here. Maybe we're going to follow a different character who sort of grew up with Tom Riddle. I don't know. Who knows? But anyway, other bits and pieces about the timeline that are interesting. I did try to speculate as to when Nagini would show up. I've got my theory video on that. I posted that a few weeks ago, or last week, I think. Top three theories where Nagini could appear. One being at Hogwarts. I didn't mention that in this Voldemort timeline, but I did say that during 1945 and 1955, possible that he could have went there and found her. And then I really asserted that probably in 57 and 67, when he disappears and he travels the world, that was probably the most likely time where he came across Nagini in Indonesia at the black market or something, you know. But so that was kind of cool. Other things, I tried to count up in terms of just like the number of pieces, the number of Horcruxes and the times that he split his soul. And I was talking to Lottie about this, and she was like, you know, kind of confused when I was on the video. I was too. I sort of forgot that Voldemort meant to split his soul into seven pieces, and that doesn't mean seven Horcruxes. That meant six Horcruxes for him, right? And then his soul, a portion of it is still left with him, obviously, that being the master soul. And then that didn't work out, right? I mean, he goes to make his six Horcrux. He doesn't realize that Harry becomes the sixth Horcrux, and then he'll make a seventh one with Nagini later on. His soul is technically split into like eight pieces at that point, I think, then. So it didn't even work out, but it's just the idea that he was trying for that, and there's this extra sort of Harry Potter soul splitting situation. So yeah, that was interesting. I do think I've had theories, and I might cover this later on. What was he trying to acquire? What were Voldemort's plans after he killed Harry Potter? So if he was successful in that, what was he going to do next? And I do think one of the things was, I feel like he felt like he would have been unbeatable. And you know, you beat the person who the prophecy said could be your only destroyer and would be your downfall. And so by beating him and beating the prophecy and coming out on top, he would feel empowered and almost, you know, unstoppable. And so he would have taken on Dumbledore. I think he would have tried to go get him, or tried to break in there and take the Sword of Godric Gryffindor, and he would have made that his six Horcrux. I think that's what he was aiming for. Makes a lot of sense, because he had Ravenclaw's diadem, he had Slytherin's locket, and he had Helga Hufflepuff's cup. So what did he not acquire? Gryffindor's sword. And Dumbledore was like, hey, you ain't getting it, buddy. Ain't no way. But that sword does disappear on its own, and maybe it would just vanish from him. Who knows? But anyways, I thought that would be kind of a cool thing. I wanted to allude to that, but I just kept it pretty straight in the theory. So, and then everything else, yeah, I think if I made any mistakes, or if there's any, you know, flaws or shortcomings, really where I kind of rushed through it was the end, just with the Harry Potter books and stuff. I got a few dates in there, but I tried to comb through and figure out exactly when certain individuals were killed or when he was making moves. And there is probably more to it than what I had outlined in those in that story. Surely, obviously, but it's just based on what the book gives us and stuff. So, okay, quick little commentary there. Thanks, guys, so much for listening and just supporting me as I you know, dive into more of these videos here. I'm thinking about doing a complete Luke Skywalker story. I'm just doing stuff that I like, you know, things that I'm really into. Maybe I'll do the complete Galadriel story. Boy, that'd be something. Just to get her whole story down. And I do have my top 12 moments in the second age that I'm working on and different things. So lots more coming, and I'm having fun doing this, and I hope you guys appreciate it. We'll be back. I've podcast with Matt in the bag for Star Wars. I've got a couple podcasts with Lane in the bags that I need to get up here on the channel as well too. So, but hey, again, thanks for listening. I appreciate all your guys' support. If you do have a fan theory, interesting thought, send me a transmission, a Raven, or an outpost at theflannelwizard@gmail.com. Thanks, Jack, for sending one already. We'll get to that later when I have Matt back on for some Star Wars stuff. So yeah, thanks again. Stay watchful. May the Force be with you, and don't let the Muggles get you down.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.